gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's comic book club. Here are your hosts, Peter Payne, Jesse Tyler, Alex Snowden.
Guys, how are you doing? Welcome to Comic Book Club, the only live. You're still amazed by the tiny little recording.
It's device. A microphone.
It's not on.
Well, you should be amazed by microphones. Pete was featured on ABC World News Tonight this week.
I don't know about features.
He is a pedophile.
Again? I don't know about features.
There's the story on, you guys have heard about this, Captain America. He's a superhero. And so they were doing interviews with men on the street.
Yeah.
And
of course they chose Pete as a regular man.
Weird.
They chose famous comic book commentator Pete.
Yeah.
And now Pete is a pundit.
Yeah, you're a pundit now.
You're a pundit now.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just to tell you the difference, we are fundits. And you are an official pundit.
I don't like the separation.
Anybody? Vocabulary? All right. Anyway.
Wow. That's that.
All right. This is a good chance to introduce, if you don't know, our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man!
Seems like most of you do. Very nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are going to get right into the show. I'm very excited about the guests that we have tonight. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Kelly and Rax Morales!
Yeah! Woo! Welcome.
Guys,
pretty good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you here. So, Rax, as you're sitting closest to me, let's start with you. Let's just talk about right now you're working on Nightwing, right? And how long does the run on Nightwing go for?
As long as we can stomach it.
That sounds fun. So it's like a
fluke. He's excited about that project.
Actually, not really. I really am. I like it a lot. It's working with Pete. It's been great. I've never worked with him as a writer before. He's always been an editor for me. Back with Hawkman and JSA. Really good high adventure stuff. You know, it really is. He's everything that Nightwing's supposed to be. Everything everybody ever wanted. It's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Cool.
Were you a fan of the character before this, before you got onto the run? Or?
No, I really didn't. I didn't do a whole lot of reviews.
Are you a fan yet of the character?
Oh, I love it now. Okay. It's awesome now. Cha-ching! There you go. When I was a kid, it was Daredevil and Spider-Man, and I didn't realize how similar they were until I actually started doing it, and then the little geek came out of me. Now I'm just like, I'm very excited about it, really, truly am.
And you've been also doing some work on Countdown, is that right?
No.
No?
Wow.
Joe, I think you're...
Well, good, good.
I haven't done any work on Countdown.
Cool, forget it.
You're just saying that because you don't want the fans to get angry at you.
No, anything I did with Countdown's already been out. I did that little chapter in
the... Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I meant. You did.
Cool.
All right, we're clear.
How's your stomach on that stuff?
Awesome.
Indigestion.
Awesome. I told you. I get to work with... Anytime I get to work with Jeff, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I love working with Jeff. So.
Cool. And what else do you have coming up in general?
In February 20th, in fact, I have Batman Confidential.
Ooh, nice.
Coming out. 4 issues with Tony Bedard. Mark Farn is my anchor. And we brought back the Rat. 1984 Batman special. Mm-hmm. It was Batman's... You know, direct composite. He was his antithesis, essentially. And we just go. And he was killed. He was killed back in that run. It was handled down by Mike Barr and Michael Golden. And he's always been one of my favorites. So when I got to meet at the convention, I actually had copies of the pencils, and I showed it to him. And he vaguely remembered it.
That's hell of a laurel right
there. Yeah.
Vaguely remembered.
That's right. I took him out back.
Yeah. That's the stuff you don't hear about at the con. Yeah. The beatings, you know?
Well, that's usually not on the con, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Joe, let's turn over to you for a second. So, a while ago you finished a run on Supergirl, and right now, we were talking about this a little earlier, you're working on a couple of indie things for Image?
Yeah, all the Man of Action guys are trying to put books out through Image now, so that's myself, Duncan Rouleau, Steve Siegel and Joe Casey. So we're sort of doing them through Image instead of, you know, starting out with like, hey, we'll just open our own comic book company. It seems like a nice way to go. So, yeah, I've got like 3 or 4 projects coming out this year. Some of them have been germinating for a while. And then mainstream stuff is a Batman Superman annual that's coming out. Scott Collins drew it.
Cool. Nice.
And it looks very, very cool. I'm really excited. It's sort of a retell of this world's finest issue where Superman lost his powers forever, but done as if it were, you know, real continuity and updated, and might have that supernova costume shows up.
Awesome. Ooh, nice. Oh, wow. Spoiler. I have a question for you about Supergirl, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to have problems.
Anger and bile?
Yeah. with this character. What's that about, and how do you deal with that as a writer on the title?
First of all, I mean, I stopped reading boards a really long time ago for my work, unless if it was something I was really
it's
felt
nice.
Yeah, I know, unless it's like the Happy We Love Joe board.
Is that popular?
Yeah.com. I used to read them a lot, and you have to take the good with the bad. So you can't believe all the accolades, and you can't believe the negatives either. But with Supergirl, it all got back to me. Like a lot of people, are like, wow, damn, you're really pissing people off on Supergirl. But that was the character that we wanted to do, though. You know, like we really wanted to do a story that was about a young woman off on her own the first time and really screwing up. The idea was going to be if we got 2 or 3 years out of it, you were going to see her sort of come back from that. But you had to put her through the paces and start out kind of hard. So I didn't mind it because I knew we had a plan. I knew why we were doing it, you know. And I like that people get a visceral reaction. I just, you know, I have no interest in doing like somebody's favorite 1940s version or, you know, 1970s version or whatever. It's always like, what can we do to make it more modern, make it feel like a contemporary character?
Yeah. Do you think it's because there's been so many different versions of that character that people, no matter what, feel like you're going to get it wrong?
Oh, that's
because
it's
always somebody's favorite?
Definitely. There are characters that are like that. You know, I mean, Superman's like that, too, in some ways. You can't, you know, if he cracks the wrong kind of joke, people, oh, no, this is impossible. You can never make a
hell of a jokester at Superman.
That's the problem I have as an artist. It's the same thing.
Right.
You're not just doing a character. You're up against the history of that character.
Right. Yeah.
So anytime you handle Batman or Green Lantern or Spider-Man or anything that's been around forever, it's just like, well, you know, it's just off.
You know, well, yeah, no, and I think you guys have it pretty rough because it's instant. Like, immediately they just open a book and go, like, oh, that's not my Superman fan. And they die. I mean, yeah. Duncan, who's, you know, one of my partners, he's an incredible artist. He's just got this sick style. When people see his Batman or Superman, they're like burning down houses and pitchforks and all this stuff.
Is it because they have like giant heads?
Yes, they have been, you know, Batman's nose is like, nah, you know. And that's his, you know, he's got this very expressionistic style. But then he does the Metal Man, and it's people, you know, they don't have that sort of preformed opinion. So they see that and they're like, wow, this is really slick. And whenever he does his own characters too. So
I really like that Metal Man series. It's all over the place, but in a good way.
Right. Right, I think so too. I think he's doing a great job. And I know it wraps up because we've talked a lot about it.
Yeah, so, nice.
Yeah.
We'll talk after. Especially also with Supergirl, people get, because there's been so many different, like Peter David's was so different. Mm-hmm. And then so everyone's like, he had such a fan base with that was different than all the other fan bases, so they probably all hate each other. Right. Now all that hate is toward you.
Yes, it was definitely, I got a lot of hate. Yeah.
Well, does that sort of thing, I mean, for both of you guys, does that make you... What does that make you do, I guess? Does it make you work that much harder to make your work better? Or
punch holes in the wall.
Does it make you punch holes in the wall? Or does it say, you know, I forget this, I'm going to create my own stuff?
If you're me, you just get a list of where they're from, you go on the message boards, and I'm not doing that town, I'm not doing that town.
I just try to make sure it's a good, like, safety net. Just for your own brain, you go like, is this really what I want to do? Like, when people react so viscerally, you kind of go like, all right, wait, did I sort of misstep? And then you sort of go through the checklist, and it's like, no, this is exactly what I want to do. And if people didn't like it, that's okay. Right. Hopefully they'll stick on board for the whole thing. I mean, that's how I respond to that stuff. You know, I've certainly been there. When we did the X-Men, there were some really, really crazy fans, and we were actually there when there was, like, death threats about...
I love that arc, though, and I think it's kind of been honored as time went by, but I remember the big fight over that.
for was he going to be a Jew or not, and all this kind of stuff. And there was a fan who really did make death threats while we were there.
Oh, that's crazy.
And it was like,
did he follow through?
Yeah.
not it wasn't aimed at me, so it was okay. No, it was aimed at Bob actually. But in that particular case, we were trying to do the story. You know, it sort of came from like, oh, can we make a villain who is Jewish? Is that fair? That predated my being involved, and then this person sort of was angry after the fact, and our story ended up putting it back, actually, which was kind of cool.
Cool.
But, all
right.
Well, it does make the work harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when's the next steampunk arc coming up?
let's see, in the year 3000. Yeah. I would love to do steampunk again. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that, though. Chris is pretty busy.
Yeah.
It's fine. I had a feeling steampunk was going to come up, though.
Yeah. Well, it's a great series.
Oh, thanks. If it had been a Vertigo book, we would have finished it.
Yeah.
You know.
I like Chris's work, too.
Oh, yeah. No, he's incredible. The closest thing you're going to get is that hardcover hip flask pirate story that's out. I think I would love to go back. We actually figured that whole story out. You know, it was 25 issues, and we made it to 12, and Abraham Lincoln was about to show up.
Man, I love him.
I've got all this.
Yeah.
All right.
I know almost everything about him.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Everything?
Don't ask me.
I'm going to quiz you later.
Yeah, he wore a funny hat, right?
Yeah, that's all I know.
Wow, you know
one leg. Yeah. He was a famous senator like a couple years ago, right? 70s?
Yeah, he was like, I'm not a crook.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
I like that guy.
Man.
All right, let's move on with our first section of our show, which we like to call The Stack.
Woo!
All right, first issue we are going to talk about today is Captain America 34. Which, as we've already mentioned, Pete is the expert on. So, Pete, why don't you start things off? Give us your learned opinion.
Yeah, give us your TV opinion. Big time, Pete. Give us an opinion. Let's see what you have to say about the book. It's called JT.
Why do you call yourself JT? That's such a horrible, like...
JT Sizzle. It's my rap name.
I hope you don't come out with an album, because that would just be horrible.
Cassette or album?
Anyways,
he
Captain
with an A-track.
Yeah, and a single.
I really love this issue. I thought it was extremely well done. Crazy reveal at the end, which was fun. I'm on board. I was nervous when I saw the cover. I was like, "Holy shit, they're really doing this!" But
the big thing is it's Bucky taking over, and also it's become the big news thing is the gun. He has a gun now. And he's like, no, I have a gun. I'm going to shoot people if I want to. And that's why it's been on the news and stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the real issue, which I don't know. And he shoots a bunch of guys in the knees, which is kind of fucked up.
Not to get back and talk about message board stuff, but message boarders tend to react to everything poorly.
Yeah.
If you saw it beforehand, when they released the image of Cap with a gun, everybody was like, oh, what the fuck is this? Fuck you guys, I hope you fucking die. And then afterwards, they're like, well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it does. It's totally, it's Brubaker writing it so that it's, Bucky's always carried a gun the entire time he's had him in Captain America. He's always generally used it non-lethally, so he kneecaps the guys. So that's pretty much it.
They're gonna be walking with a cane.
Yeah, it's an expedient.
Those Hydra soldiers.
They're gonna take off their beekeeper mask and be like, ow.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this whole Captain America being dead Bucky thing? Have you been following it at all? Or?
I was only following it a little bit and checking out the issue before the show. I mean, it seems to me that there are certain characters I think you have to put a political spin into, and anything with America in the title sort of is one of them.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've got this super aggressive, like he's going to carry a gun, to me this all fits with like the current climate. So
I feel like that's probably part of the move is to be like, well, hey, yeah, politics, yeah. America's kind of violent. Let's give him a gun.
I also kind of liked, in a certain way, that there was no twist at all.
Yeah.
You know, the entire time they introduced Bucky, you see Bucky becoming a character over the course of several issues. Captain America dies, you're like, oh, the next Captain America is going to be Bucky. And then 12 issues later or whatever, it's like, yeah, the next Captain America is Bucky.
Yeah.
And it's just,
in the book, they're like,
sense.
Of course I am. Like, they're like, basically saying to the fans, like, come on, what do you think
right,
of
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm his sidekick, that's the point. I'm Vice Captain America. He's dead, I take over.
Very much.
But that being said, like, that could have been done very poorly. You know, yeah. Brubaker did an amazing job as far as pacing. Nothing happened too soon. You know, it felt like it fit really well.
And as an event, it seems to be more about the story, which if you were to put this up against, say, Spider-Man, the event is about the event of retconning it. Well, this is like, no, this was a story we've been telling for a long time, and it happened that Captain America died, and this is the next natural step in the progression, which is great to see.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good issue. Good job. Let's move on and talk about another big issue. And don't worry, we're not actually going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Right?
But the last issue of Why the Last Man. For you guys, just so you know, this is Why the Last Man is the only series on the show we are not allowed by the audience to actually talk about.
Yeah.
Punish roll. All
right, fair enough. So what did you guys think about this? What did you guys think about it as a...
Page 6 is...
I was extremely nervous about picking this up because I've been so in love with this series. There was a part of me that was like, they could fucking ruin this with the last issue. If this last issue sucks, I don't want to have to discredit, you know, everything that I've read. So I was...
Discredit?
Extremely, So I was extremely nervous when I picked it up. But like you were saying, that it's like this was the end they had from the beginning. So it was like...
And also this, all the big reveals were in the last 2 issues before this. Yeah. And this was kind of like a nice, bittersweet, like, end. It takes place in the future, like 60 years after. And it's nice. It's a lot of people are complaining because it's like, this is an end. It's not an end. And I think that's...
It's a little bow. It's a nice little bow on the present that is called Why the Last Man.
Wow.
No, it's a mind present.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get those for a lot of friends.
I gave you a mind present the other day. Yeah. For my birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. You feel
that?
It's
the thought that counts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't go wrong with anything Brian does. You know what I mean? This is a baby, so... Yeah. You know, it's no surprise to hear that you guys are happy.
And I mean, to have 48 pages of Yorick just sitting there going, just like panel after panel.
Yeah.
It was just that
farting
tall.
And farting. Weird. I will say, it's hard.
Weird. That is weird.
That, now I'm not getting another mind present. It's weird, though. There's so many characters in this series that I felt a little guilty because I didn't reread the whole thing before I read this, and I was like... Which girl is that? There's so many girls in there. And the girls have, like, they all have similar hair, and their names are all Beth. So it's like, I don't know, it's just all one thing. And so I feel like I need to go reread the whole thing to get the full impact of the issue.
Yeah.
But there's only the monkey, you know, because there's one main monkey. There are other monkeys in this, but there's
right,
one important.
Yeah, no, okay, let's move on. Talk about Spider-Man with Great Power, which basically this series takes place between when he becomes Spider-Man and when Uncle Ben dies.
Right.
Spoiler.
So well, basically, to sum up,
spoiler, Uncle Ben.
It
dies.
Is douchebag Spider-Man is what you're getting. This is when he just gets his power and he's still very immature. And he's just kind of like a annoying kid who you don't really like yet.
Well, that's an interesting story to tell. Like, this time when he was, like, into, like, being rich and famous. Because after Ben dies, he's like,
Yeah. There's a reason they skipped over it in the comics. When he was, like, mature enough to have powers. You know, it was like, oh, we don't want to tell this. It's going to be horrible. Let's start
No, but it's the whole point of the Spider-Man, like, mythos is that he's, like, was it this? Mythos. Why? Anyway, is that he was like, I can do whatever I want, and then his actions cause someone to die. So
yes.
It's really cool. I think this is a great idea for an arc. Like, it sticks it right in there. It's like taking the idea of a year one and doing it in a way where it's not even the same character, really.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not the Spider-Man you like. It's kind of an annoying young punk.
Well, I would agree.
No.
I would agree with you. It's Spider-Man Year One is what it feels like, and I think it's sort of in the best sense of that, not in terms of ripping it off. It's kind of interesting in a certain way. It occurs to me now that this is Spider-Man Year One, and we had Spider-Man Reign, which was essentially Spider-Man Strikes Back a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just throwing that out there. I have no analysis.
Yeah. Fact. just look at them. True, but this I feel like they're trying to tell an interesting story. about how you can take another look at your famous.
Well, let me know when it gets interesting, and then I'll pick it back up.
let's talk about something that...
Tony Harris' art is very good.
Who did the cover art?
It's Tony Harris as well.
Tony Harris. He ex machina.
Yeah,
that's like a complete ripoff of his own work.
Well, that's his art. Like, he was bit. I loved him from Star when he did Starman for DC, and it's all his art's that's always like.
It's always the Two-Face?
Not always Two-Face. Well, it's always like a central character.
To be perfectly fair, one of the characters from Ex Machina is in it playing Flash, so that's all good.
Yeah. Well, he draws based on, like, pictures, I think.
Yeah, he draws from life. Yeah.
So, but like,
it's good art.
I feel like he has a friend who's like, man, you're in Spider-Man 2. We're bros.
Let's move on to talk about the craziest issue of the week, which is Batman by Grant Morrison. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I read the comic three times. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's basically Batman's dream.
Yeah. Yeah. But crazy dream.
Grant Morrison has got to be the most fucked up guy.
No, he's a nice guy. We were talking about this before the show.
I can't believe that.
No, I was terrified that I was going to meet him and just, I don't know, entrails would just start coming out. Him or he or both. You know? Because it's just...
I feel like if I saw him, I would run the other way.
Yeah, the mind waves alone should help you. But he's just so down to earth and cool when you talk to him. And then, I mean, you know, on panels and stuff, I think he amps it up a little. But he's just a regular dude and, you know, he's happy to...
Maybe when he, like, walks into his writing room or something, and then, like,
he peels his face.
He's like, ah! You
know? Well, and the thing is, everyone loves his work. Everyone's like, it's so great. But I feel like it's kind of, people are like, I don't get it, but it looks great. Like, something's great here. I don't know what.
To me, this issue is like Doom Patrol Grant Morrison, kind of. Thank you for being the showgirl. This is like Doom Patrol Grant Morrison, as opposed to he's been doing some wacky but interesting stuff for most of his Batman run.
Yeah,
this is crazy. I have no idea what's going on. There's like Batmite flying around, being like, "You're in a dream, but you're not in a dream." Poof. And then I don't know. Wow. I don't even remember because I don't even know exactly what was happening.
Being that I'm doing a bat book, I'm not going to comment on it because you don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, right. No, the editorial staff is like, looks good.
All I know is that Dan's flown to Scotland at least 4 or 5 times in the last year or so.
Oh, really?
Crying, going, what does this mean?
Also, a big thing in this was there's a Robin memorial for Stephanie Brown. The spoiler.
Yeah.
Which was a big deal. Everyone's complained because when she was Robin and killed, she didn't get a memorial in the Batcave, and it's the first instance of
it. And this all happens in a dream, though. So the way that people are interpreting it is, like, in Batman's heart of hearts, he really wants there to be a memorial for Stephanie Brown in the Batcave. But in reality...
Who'd get the time to do construction?
Yeah, I know.
You know, buy the glass, get the little stand. He's a busy guy.
What the fuck? All right, let's move on and talk about...
No, that's analysis.
Avengers The Initiative. I love this series. I think it's great. And this issue ramps up the action and the danger like you've never seen it before.
Wow.
You ain't seen it.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah. You weren't as crazy about it, right, Pete?
No, I wasn't. I feel like, I was like, when he died, this was what I was afraid of.
Who?
MVP. I was like, oh, this is so awesome. They killed him right in the beginning. What a great idea, you know?
Basically, okay, there's this character, MVP, that they killed off, I think, the first or second issue of the series. He's sort of like a Captain America-type teen. Gets killed. They've been covering it up. But turns out they've been making clones of him because he's pretty much perfect.
A bunch of them.
Yes. They end up attaching alien technology to one of the clones who instantly turns evil. Becomes KIA, killed in action.
And he cuts it on his chest with a knife.
Yeah, and starts murdering everybody. I don't know, it's pretty intense and fun.
A naked guy gets cut
in half
right
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Take that, naked guys.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think it's a great series. I really like it a lot.
It's good. What I love about Dan Slott's thing here is that he's taking so much continuity that he's building up and from the rest of the Marvel Universe and really, like, bringing it together and... It's all there if you've been reading the series. So it's great.
I really thought it was funny, the interaction with Moon Knight, where he comes up to him, and Moon Knight's like, whoa, I'm not on your list, right? I wasn't here when you...
Taskmaster.
Yeah. Oh, what?
You love, why do you like Moon Knight?
Why not? He's a crazy guy.
Why not? He's a crazy guy, cool.
Okay, you're talking about Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck that.
You right, love Moon Knight.
Let's move on and talk about Trials of Shazam. This is the second last issue of the series, so we can't really recommend necessarily starting it right now.
Start with 12, read backwards.
There you go. Start with the last page, read all of the letters backwards. It's an awesome series.
This has been great. Can't recommend the series enough. I don't know if people are buying it or not, but it's been just a really great, nice myth-building storyline.
Yes.
Yes.
Statement.
I totally agree. The other thing that I really like about it is the art.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it was originally Howard Porter, but it changed halfway through, so they're sort of aping the style that he was trying to do a little bit, but yeah, I think it still really holds up. It's nice. It's nice. It's clean. It definitely puts forward the epic feel of what's going on in there. So, I don't know.
I feel like people don't really care about Shazam anymore. Right?
Man.
Is that true? Man.
Yeah.
Man. Well, what if he was the last man on Earth?
What?
He kind of got taken off the show for a little while, too, because the Jeff Smith project, it was like, you couldn't, as somebody who wanted to do a Shazam project, you kind of couldn't work on it because there was stuff happening at the time, and so he sort of fell back for a little. But I think Jeff, though, with all the Black Adam stuff, has really made it so pertinent to DCU that it's just a natural. It's going to be a big character.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a hard character to sell because the only time it was ever really prior successful was when it was CC Bass project. And they tried to do the revamp in the 70s and on and on and on. And outside of a Saturday morning cartoon show, there really hasn't been much you could do with them. But recently, you're right, Jeff Smith was a really killer. Killer shit with Black Adam, and it's a viable character, and I expect good things out of it.
People seem to love it. Seem to have a special place in their heart for Shazam. Yeah, totally. For some reason, I don't know.
I always wanted to work on it. Yeah.
I would say both of the series that Jed Winnick has done with Shazam and First Thunder, Superman, Shazam, First Thunder was wonderful, awesome, really well done series. So I don't know. That's a statement.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to talk about New Avengers Annual Number 2.
Yeah.
This is... Bendis writes the crap out of these New Avenger annuals.
Yeah,
he does.
He really does.
Bendis wrote this? So I can't take it out of the bag.
By contract, we can't remove
Yeah,
it.
That's Pete's. That's Pete's here.
I like to protect my art.
your art?
Well, you know, art that I collect.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an art speculator. Yeah. I buy comic books.
Yeah. I don't bring to art like I am, but I'm a big collector.
Someday they're going to fund a dinner at Starbucks. and a date if I have one.
How do you guys feel about this New Avengers annual?
It's amazing.
Why did you like it?
There was tons of action.
Did you like
it?
Did you like
I'm trying to speak in the same room. Yeah.
Yeah, Moonlight was... fantastic.
Moonlight?
It's a sidekick. Yeah.
Moonlight is alive, right?
So when Moonlight dies, Moonlight will take over.
Yeah. Just about as much impact on the Marvel Universe as Moonlight.
No, but yeah,
Moonlight here tonight?
There was like a 4-page fight sequence in this. It was awesome.
Yeah. It's
I'm going to take you to a boxing match sometime. That way it's just all fight. You could
imagine.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Let's go.
And then Pete could take you to dinner at Starbucks. Here's the great thing that Bendis does with these New Avengers annuals. If there's one thing you can say about Bendis, he likes to write talky dialogue, right?
Yep.
He does it a lot. The New Avengers annuals are pretty much all about, this one and the last one at least, about huge, big, fun fight sequence style stories. Almost done in one, kind of, but always following up on storylines from the main issues. They're annuals the way I remember annuals from when I was little.
Yeah.
This is the way I would say. And it's great. This is following up on the Hood storyline, not to really ruin anything, but he manages to wrap up his Hood storyline while still leaving the plot threads nicely open, which I really appreciated.
Because they're using him in Daredevil as well.
Yeah, which is great. So definitely recommend picking up.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's move on and talk about Superpowers number 0 from Alex Ross. Pete, you picked this up, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, this is a classic example of a great zero issue.
You hate zero issues.
Yes. But the reason I hate zero
issues... The concept of zero issues.
Yeah, because a zero issue to me means get all backstory. This is what we're setting up for the first issue. It bothers me when they make a zero issue and I'm like, why is this a first issue? You know?
Yeah.
It's like Black Summer did that and it was very upsetting. So it's like, this is great because it is a zero issue, but because it is a zero issue, I hate it.
But this one goes down to zero.
So this, Alex Ross found a bunch of characters that were public domain, and so he's decided to use them and write this kind of big sweeping story about them. And at first, I was like, I don't know about this. But read the issue, I like it. It's they do a nice little thing with Pandora's box being open, and this one hero's like, a ghost tells him he has to like kill a bunch of his friends.
Oh.
So and put them in Pandora's box. Pretty weird now that I say it. because they say that Hitler...
Just out of curiosity, if a ghost told you to kill some of your friends and put them in Pandora's box...
What, ghosts have been telling me to kill both of you for weeks. And I haven't done it.
Weeks?
Yeah. Wow. Like, man. 3 weeks.
It's not that long.
I know. Well, that's why I'm waiting. If it keeps coming, then we'll do it. So watch out.
Good point.
The story is like Hitler opened Pandora's box. He got his whole pants on.
Oh, Hitler!
Yeah, I know, right? What's he up to?
He's a grudge.
Yeah, I know. What a rascal!
Wacky Hitler.
It was an urn though. It's like Pandora's urn. And so he opens it, and out comes Hope. And then Hope went into a bunch of people and made them into superheroes. And then the ghost is like, "Hey, other hero, the Yank, we need you to get your friends, their heroes, and put them back into Pandora's box so we can put all the evils back in there too." And so he kills all his friends and puts them in a box.
Well, his name is Yank, right?
Yeah. Right. Fighting Yank.
Wank.
Yeah. Fighting Wank.
Would you recommend picking this up? Or would you
no.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting concept and interesting to be using all these old characters. It's a lot like the 12 over at Marvel they're doing, kind of a similar thing by taking
these
older
characters. Yeah, but 12
characters.
Is good.
All right. Well, but this might be good. This is just zero.
Yeah, that's right. I'll make a judgment on issue number one.
All right, fair enough.
This doesn't even exist to you.
Really. That's right.
You're weird.
Okay, so we'll come back and talk about number one, but now that is it for the stack.
Now, no more stack.
Join us next week when we talk about number one.
Statement.
But now I talk in very specific sentence. No more time for stack. Now it is time for my favorite section of the show, which is...
Caveman Alex says, no more stack!
Mimic wheel, me get audience questions, me bring up Booth back.
Booth back!
Woo!
Hey, guys.
Hard to do your entrance music when
Well, there it is.
Is that just going to go?
It might. yep, because my arm can't reach. I'm going to ask some questions.
All right. Yeah.
Really? I don't know what to say. Boba Fett or Jango Fett?
Boba Fett.
Yeah. Wow. What's happening?
That's a Star Wars thing. We don't.
Oh.
I mean, it's okay. Cool. We'll answer that.
Yeah. We talk about Star Wars stuff outside of the show.
Yeah. A lot. Like,
Especially on their minds because it's playing outside.
Yes, Star Wars playing.
Yeah, and actually, I think 10 more people were supposed to come in, but they stayed out to watch it.
That's fucked up if that's true. But if it's not, it's fucked up that you said that.
Especially since it was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Well, it was all three.
Chewbacca. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, what's the best superpower ever?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Ever.
Pete, show us a little more of your belly.
Ever.
What?
We can see.
What's your favorite superpower? Show your belly?
Yes. So conscious about my
You're very fat.
Wow. My superpower is to pretend this isn't happening.
What about you guys? What's your favorite superpower? Are we playing Be So Horny?
Well, maybe while we're answering this, you can go
turn
that
off. Yeah, why don't you?
That's inspiring answers I probably shouldn't say.
Is that your power? Your power?
Yeah. Being so horny.
The Spanish fly power? Is that I don't know. I'm whenever my kid is like, hey, what's yours? I just say, the Spider-Man. I just want to be Spider-Man. That's really it. So if you can just be Spider-Man, and that counts as a power, that's my favorite power. That's cool.
I had two as a kid. I wanted to either be invisible or to be able to fly. So if I could fly invisibly, I guess that would be cool.
Best way to do it.
Sans clothing.
Nude flight.
I probably shoot stuff with my hands.
Like what? Pizza?
Yes. Anything?
Nudes? Yeah, pizza.
Like,
yeah. Maybe like spin cotton candy, which is
that would be awesome.
All you have to do is like throw sugar on me, and I'd be like,
just hot hands.
Yeah.
I believe last time you were asked this, it was something with cupcakes. If I recall, so I don't know about your.
About this time of the show, I'm hungry.
Yeah, and you're sugar, you need some glucose.
Yeah.
I would like to travel through time and meet Abraham Lincoln, or pick up the next volume of steampunk.
I guess I would like to be able to eat food and not get fat.
Stay away from Alex.
My cotton candy. Zero calories. All right, let's.
I have a prize for whoever asked that question.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
A little more enthusiasm.
Nice, congratulations.
He won a prize.
Don't give me your free stuff. I don't want your free stuff.
They were all jealous. That's it. That's all I have.
What? Seriously?
No, I have another question.
Okay.
Do it.
There
yeah.
you go. Sure. All right, so Batman's going to die, right? He's going to become a god, right?
There's talk about it.
All right, let's say that happens.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and I've been hearing that his sidekick will take over. All right, and if
Which
this
one?
Is true, I'm just wondering, and this is nothing against you guys, DC guys, if DC's going to, like, they don't owe me. It just seems like if they do that, it's just like, yeah, this is Captain we're just gonna do it easy. What I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like a direct parallel.
Because that's all I've been hearing about is that Batman's gonna.
Well, there's a couple of things going back and forth
to each other. They really don't. They don't.
They don't know.
They don't respond that quickly to each other. They really don't. You know, if anything does it, it's like a similarity. Because what else can we do anymore? You know, think about it. You know, you build something up, you tear it down, you build it up again. It's just like a sandcastle when you're a kid. It's the reason why you build it.
Some of the stuff is just in the ether, definitely. But DC tries to work like 6 months in advance. I mean, so I don't think it's that quick.
It tries.
Yeah. I haven't been to Marvel for a long time, but it was a little quicker, but it was still, I don't know. People were there now.
Yeah. Well, whether or not it's a ripoff, that's a crazy idea for a storyline.
It's that Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they came back and said that wasn't happening, and I don't know.
They don't let me in the war room. I don't know.
The war room.
what would you guys think about that if they did?
That's cool. That's one of those things that seems like Batman's a god. Can you believe 6 months he's been a god, and now he's Batman again? Wow.
Yeah.
And all that stuff he did when he was a god.
It's like when they broke his back. That lasted for a long time.
Yeah, that was... I don't know. I thought that was a cool storyline back in the day.
Sure.
Because it made sense that he could maybe heal from that.
Right.
He can't heal from being dead.
But I don't... I mean, I did once, but that's just me. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It might be an interesting... They killed a lot of the new gods, so they need to put other guys in their place, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's sort of a bigger question of just... all these books have gotten so dark, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I like dark books. I write dark books, but it's sort of like if we're not killing somebody, we don't know what story to tell. I find that kind of frustrating myself. So,
and that's true, and that seems to be the way. It's like, all right, we've gone 6 months without doing a big death event,
right.
And it's like, this guy's dying, and they're like, and now he's like, now he's back. So it's very cyclical. Turns into a really cyclical thing,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which weakens the impact as the more it happens.
Yeah, pretty much, and it's also something especially when it becomes like. Here's the death in the storyline, and it's some sort of B or C list character. It's just, eventually, even if you cared for that character at all, who really cares? Because it happens so often.
Well, and plus, like, remember when Superman died? And then, granted, it was the 90s, and everyone was crazy about comic books, but, like, everyone went nuts. They were like, no, why? And then, where I was, and they killed Captain America, and immediately everyone's like, they're gonna fucking bring him back. Oh, man. Oh. And
yeah,
so,
but people
like,
were going nuts, though. I mean, that was like...
Yeah, but I just feel like everyone was like, did you get the black bag? Superman's dead. Black bag comic. I got four of them. One, I'm going to put in ice so I don't have to see it. The rest of the box, I'm going to open one and burn it.
I'm really into burning comics. I don't know what that's about. But I think it would be interesting to see you know, Nightwing and Robin fight over the throne a little bit. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, right. Well, your face is making weird things. You're like, I know
same
this.
Same face I walked in with. What are you talking about? I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like you're lying.
Yeah.
Well, you want me to call Pete now and find out?
Yeah.
Why use my phone?
Yeah.
He's home feeding his kid. Not really.
What do you think that kid knows? Does he know something?
Call the kid.
What if we get the kid?
Call the kid.
Get the kid.
I never thought of that. Yeah.
Call the kid, huh? Let's get the kid down here. Huh?
All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Our next section is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Peter. All
right!
Hi.
All right, so this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience, with the chance to win a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. So, who would like $25? I just need one. Oh, right! Guy, I need your goodness. Get up here. All right.
Pete, last week I did trivia.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have sucked. Hey, what's your name?
Nick.
Nick, audience? Audience, Nick.
Hi, Nick. All
right, so today's trivia is on Deadpool.
Nice.
Okay, so how it'll work is you will hear the question, then you will get three multiple choice answers, and then, you know, you pick that. But wait till you hear all three.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Use the music. Use it. All right. Deadpool has many aliases. One of them is A, the Crimson Nutcase, B, Red Thunder, or C, Neil Patrick Harris. We'll do it again. A, the Crimson Nutcase, B, Red Thunder.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct! The man is a genius! Okay, question number two. Some say Deadpool sucked until Joe Kelly started writing. The artist that he worked with was A, Jim Lee, B, Ed McGuinness, or C, Snake Eyes. So it's either A, Jim Lee, B, Ed McGuinness, delicious beer. And we all know Snake Eyes is way too busy.
B.
Yeah, 2 for 2! Deadpool has many abilities, one of them being A, comic awareness, B,
comic
2020 vision, or C, a dreamy complexion. So it's either A, comic awareness, B, 2020 vision. I mean, who doesn't have that? I don't know if I call it an ability, really.
You don't.
Oh.
You can't see.
I can see you. You're holding up four fingers.
You're talking to me.
Yeah. Comic. Oh,
yeah, there you go. Big winner. 3 for 3.
Can I ask the question?
Sure.
Yeah.
What is comic awareness?
He's aware of the fact that he's in a comic.
Oh.
You win stuff and you learn stuff. Tomorrow, as we all know, is New Comic Book Day. You go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yeah!
Wow. What are you guys all looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow? And do you guys have anything you want to plug that you have coming out? I guess Joe, what do you
mean? That would be easier. I'll do the plug first. I want the 30 Days Night Zippo letter. That looks good.
Not much to read there, but
yeah, still cool. The stuff that's coming out, I have a Vertigo book coming out. It's going to be, I think, next year, but we're working on it now. I actually thought it was coming out this summer. I just found out my pushback called Bang Tango. But it's a crime book. 6 issues. It's very dark. It's very violent. It's very
sweet.
Sexual.
What?
Sexual.
What does that mean?
tell us more. Tell us more.
It's a deconstruction of a gangster via sex and violence. It's pretty nasty. But I'm very proud about that with a new artist named Adrian Sebar, who's from Argentina. And then the image books are, one's called I Kill Giants, and it's coming out. That should be ready for San Diego with an artist named J.M. Ken Nomura, who's a Spanish artist of Japanese descent. And it's kind of a manga, real sort of straight up drama with fantasy elements.
You're so international with your
yes,
it's like Mission Impossible.
Harriet Tubman of International Comics.
Wow! First Harriet Tubman reference!
Yeah! I love her!
When we started a year ago, we were like, Harriet Tubman reference.
Yeah, I know. We had confetti for the first 12 months, but
yeah.
It got all sticky.
Then weird. Pete ate it.
Shut up!
Yeah, his belly's full of confetti. Yeah. Poke him.
And then the last one is it's called Bad Dog. And it's by a fellow named Diego Greco, who's also from Argentina. And that is I'm very excited about that. It's a werewolf bounty hunter who hates people, so he never turns back to a person.
Awesome.
And it's sort of our Deadpool fix that's kind of me getting back to that sort of stuff. So I'm very excited to be doing that stuff, a little bit darker and create our own and nobody telling me what to do.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sweet.
So that's what I got coming out.
Cool.
Nice.
I'm excited now that I saw that Lapham book. That I'm really pumped to read more of.
Yeah.
Spidey book.
The Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lapham is, I think, one of the top guys. He's really awesome.
Yeah.
Spectre was super cool.
I love the Spectre. What about you? What do you have?
Betty and Veronica, I thought the digest looks good.
They've been doing some really progressive stuff with that.
Yeah. I hear they're going to kill Betty and make her a god.
Yeah, Redhead's going to take over.
Yeah.
Blackbeard Legacy. This one, you know, this one. Kung Fu Klutz and Karate Cool. I gotta get that one.
It's a great read.
But no, the. Nightwing. Nightwing number 141.
There it is.
That's right. Yeah. We continue the saga of Dick Grayson as he grows a pair.
Well,
come on. Well, you know how it's been. You know, he's been such a win. He's been pushed around. He's all this.
I loved, there was a great, I followed that for so long, and then it got, I dropped it. And we just read your first issue a couple weeks ago. And I like it, except in New York. Anytime I see a DC character in New York, I'm like, what about Gotham City? That's the whole point of DC.
Yeah, but you know what? Back in the 40s, they were making up these cities because it was a lot easier.
Yeah, I know.
It was a lot easier to put out and have them be so accurate. Then the 60s came and Marvel said, hey, why don't we put it in New York? And Houston said, okay, I'll do it too. I mean, but he's been in New York for 2 years.
Yeah, oh, I know.
It's been a while, so it's nothing new. The Titans are out there, Wonder Woman's out there in Central Park.
Come on, Justin.
Well, I know. But
come
saying,
on, man.
Who's in Gotham these days?
Nobody.
I know, man.
Simon Dark is.
Yeah, go off.
Simon Dark.
Kung Fu Klutz.
Yeah.
So we're gonna continue. We're gonna have. It's kind of, if you're looking for, you know, Nightwing gets pissed and smacks people around, you're not gonna get much of it. But a lot of the fans have been crying about certain people coming back, and we've already got back a good friend of his, and he will be displaying his new pair.
You're drawing a lot of costume change.
You know what? I'm sick and tired. I am so sick and tired of hearing this nonsense about me with the ass shots and the female. And I'm such a misogynist. And all this stuff. You count the ass shots I give those guys. One of the nicest comments I ever got. No, because this really pisses me off. One of the nicest comments I ever got was some guy went in there, and he's obviously homosexual, else he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say he was a he. But he was looking at this scene where Deathstroke and Kyle Rayner are locked in grips, and this is when, in Identity Crisis, when he breaks his fingers, and he's, you know, testing his will. And the guy says, you know, I just love his come-hither ass. And I was proud of that. I was very happy. Finally, someone got to see it, you know, because I've been drawing them forever, but everybody wants to focus on the lady. It's
cool. So you're saying you're changing that. It's going to be more scrotums and stuff at night.
Come hither, scrotum.
I'm really looking forward to the book.
Yeah. Sexuality, to me, it's no big deal. I've always done it. I've always made every one of my characters, if they're not, you know, props for goofiness, you know. If
goofiness?
Yeah. Yeah, props for goofiness. Like Elongated Man, it was a goofy character.
Yeah.
You know, we gave him a little heart, a little soul, we gave him a little thing, you know, but you can't draw him straight. You know, I can't draw him. I don't want to draw him straight. I like him the way he was. But everyone who's a main heavy hitter to me has got to have some sort of potency to them, okay? It's got to have some sort of virility to them. And the reason why we do this is because we're talking about perfect people. The women are perfect. The men are perfect, you know? And if you want to sit there and complain about, well, this one's got the, you know, double D's and she's got a 26-inch waist, and but you know what? On the same token, this guy's got to contend with, well, this guy's got $1 million and he's got broad shoulders and he's got, you know, and he always says the right thing at the right time, so.
You talking about me?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking to you for a reason.
Oh, you just keep looking at me. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Well, you asked a question. But no,
not a billion.
The thing is
he is talking about
it's fantasy, and a fantasy, everybody's right. You know?
Yeah.
And everybody's just right. And they're built just right and everything. So, you know, if I didn't create the ass, talk to God. He created asses. I'm only documenting God's good will.
Yeah.
So.
Talk to God. He created asses.
I just draw them perfect, right? Doing your work, bro.
And if you're laughing, you're going to go up to heaven and God's going to be like, those are some nice asses.
That's good.
What are you guys looking forward to?
Metal Man is actually what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. Omega the Unknown, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. What are you looking forward to, Alex?
I don't know, maybe Buffy the Vampire.
Oh, didn't see that coming!
Yeah.
I will say, not to be a total jerk, but we did read Omega and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely check it out. Really fantastic issue. And if you feel like the series has been slow at all up to now, which I haven't really felt like that, it really picks up a lot with this issue. So
yeah, well, it's just been all over the place.
It seems to sort of focus it. Yeah, he's bringing it in. So definitely pick that up.
Bring it in, guys.
Cool. Next week, we have C.B. Kowalski on the show. You might know from the series Loners, among other things. Also the Fairy Tale series of Marvel. You can also check us out 2 times a week over at pulpsecret.com, pulpsecret.com. And there's a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Rags for being on the show. Yeah! And most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends.
Thanks,
good night.
Guys.
Good night. Boothman, hit that shit.